Let me present the first speaker today. Her name is Anke Kern. And how should I put it? There are key experiences in life which are so powerful that they can turn your whole life upside down. I myself had at least three such key experiences that turned my life upside down. The first one was when God came into my life. The second key event was when my wife Annie stepped into my life. And the third one was when mobile phone providers stepped on my life. And I don't say stepped into my life, but stepped on my life. This has changed my life fundamentally. I was devastated. My life was turned upside down. So this is exactly my hope, my wish, that following this, when our first speaker comes to the podium, that she will turn our lives upside down. For all of us, I hope that we will have such a key experience hearing what she says. Please allow me to welcome Anke Kern. She will lecture about 5G. There she is. But first, let us look at her personal background, and then she will come up here.
Anke Kern, born in 1962 in Herford, Germany. Married. Has one grown-up daughter. Education, 1983 to 1987, studies in business administration. Diploma thesis about environmental policy in the Alpine regions. Activities. 1987 to 1999, she worked for a research institute, Focus Wood Research. Since 2003, independent teacher with body and energy work and care for life. After a key event with the DECT phone she used at the time, in November 2003, she heard for the first time about the side effects of mobile communication. Since then, together with her husband, a physician, she is active in speaking out about the biggest crime against life ever perpetrated by the human species. Lectures, various articles, events, newsletters, and further activities in which she is involved. Since 2007, environmental and health policy issues, main focus on microwave technology. Since 2014, also about NATO's regime change wars. Launching and promoting of several peace projects for peace with Russia, such as We Europeans Say No to a War Against Russia. She was one of the first signatories. The topic of today's lecture, digitalized into a radiant future, dead certain.
A hearty welcome, Anke Kern. An unbelievably controversial topic. It's about life or death.
Yes, I'm grateful to be given the opportunity today to speak about this issue. Very few people want to hear anything about this because it might compromise their beautiful picture of this ideal, digital, and smart world. This topic divides people into two groups. In one group, the deniers of progress, those die-hard backward nuts who want to shed light on the risks and who still want to drum in their caves. And then the other group, which does not refuse progress and labels the others as crackpots. This issue divides families, marriages, and friendships, and likely this is exactly what was intended. The ancient tactic of divide and conquer weakens the resistance. Today I'm speaking about microwave communication technology, given the harmless nickname mobile communication. And by harmless, I mean communication, connection vibes between people. That's a wonderful thing, right? It sounds great. Take the iPhone, intelligent. Smartphone, clever. Indeed, it is pretty clever how they managed to deliver a superbug into almost everybody's pockets.
In my opinion, the now omnipresent microwave radiation is the biggest crime against life. And at the end of my lecture, maybe you'll have a better understanding of what I mean with this. And now, with the 5G mobile communications, I have the feeling that the final round of the war against life on this planet should be heralded in. Yes, in 1 hour time, I can only share a small part of what I've experienced over the past 15 years of engagement. And I've gathered very much by following the activities of committed physicians and scientists, as well as initiating a few things myself, which in turn allowed me some interesting experiences with people in political offices. There are mountains of literature about the harmful effects of microwave technology on both human and animal health. The athermal effects have been proven for decades, but they're stubbornly denied. And Mr. Sasek and all of you here at this AZK, in voice and counter voice and on Claw TV, I've been watching for many years with gratitude how you have helped so intensely to get the information out there, to illuminate the facts and show people the truth. In my lecture, I don't intend to vilify digital media. I like to use them myself, but fully cabled. But as a teacher of care for life, I do have a problem when there's harm done to life. And I also have a problem when humans produce, under inhumane conditions, end products for the West and their ethical standards. And with this I mean, for instance, the mining of rare minerals by child labor or the inhumane working conditions in the production sites. As an example for the consequences of the conditions possibly caused by the high exposure to radiation, there is a very high suicide rate of people working in the telecommunications sector. Take the French telecom, for example, where within barely 3 years, 60 people committed suicide. In contrast to those who shed light on the facts about genetic engineering or about glyphosate, we who point out the facts about this issue have to withstand an incredible headwind from the entire population. I could write a thick book about what I've experienced in the past 15 years with people who prefer to look the other way. How come so many people who are active in the healthcare sector have this health-damaging microwave technology in their medical practices? Or how is it that environmentalists absolutely do not want to know anything about the disappearing of the bees, the dying off of trees near mobile radio transmitters, or about the probable interference with our weather? Are they all hypnotized in some way? Or are they hindered in being able to, or wanting to, understand without even noticing it? An old Indian proverb says, whoever has recognized a problem and does not contribute to its solution is part of the problem. I personally decided to be part of the solution, just like many of you who are here today. The fact that since spring of 2016 I'm being followed by people of certain services shows that somebody is disturbed by my awareness-raising activities. They behave so conspicuously that I see them. They show themselves. Maybe they want to intimidate me. Despite this, I'm standing here today, maybe precisely because of that reason. I have raised the awareness of many friends and family members, and I thought I'm not going to allow you to remain in the dark about this. This must come to the light. I never could have imagined I would ever get into such a situation in life. After graduating from high school, I applied for a job in higher executive level services with the Police Criminal Investigation Department because I wanted to support law and order, working against crime. And now this grotesque situation, I'm helping to shed light on crime and I'm under surveillance for that.
Nach einer Weile bin ich ganz schön wütend geworden.
And to be honest, at the beginning, I was really scared. But after a while, I became pretty angry and ultimately sad that there are always people who do this kind of job, who want to hinder other people who are bringing truth to the light and striving for peace. As we know, many people who did this have had their lives taken, and those who perpetrate this are obviously not conscious that they are committing the worst crime a person can commit, to take someone's life. Of course, this has consequences for their further spiritual way, and I personally have begun to pray for the people who cross my path. Unfortunately, I cannot get to the point of this issue in 1 minute, but if I had to, maybe I would do it like this. Never before has mankind been so erroneously informed concerning a health and environmental policy-related issue, and with such a huge effort through the good cooperation of the industrial sector, politics, and the system media. This risky technology has reached all social classes, has made people dependent and addicted, and they're screaming for more. It is the satanic stroke of genius of the dark forces on this planet Earth during the past century. So far, they have never succeeded in making people eliminate themselves and sacrifice their own children on the altar of technology for their god called progress. All who pretend that the pseudoscientifically legitimated threshold values would protect nature and our health either don't have the experts' information or they are just lying. These are the only two possibilities. If a few more people do not wake up and help us change course, soon we will all be sitting in a deadly cage of radiation together, in a digital prison, of course without cash, and everything alive on this planet Earth will be heading towards its doom. I practiced that at home. As a student working on the issue of environmental technology for alpine regions, I thought how nice it must be to work for an environmental agency doing this valuable work, which is also so important to me. But now I've gained the insight that the ladies and gentlemen of the public services are serving exclusively the so-called deep state, while in addition to our professions and families, we have to do their work, voluntarily and unpaid, because they just don't do it. They protect neither nature nor human health. In a way, it is understandable that this industry is not interested in bringing to light the downside of their products. But the fact that all social institutions are helping to keep this crime in the dark just overshadows everything. And I've dealt with environmental policy for more than 30 years. This experience has really deeply shaken my belief in the innate good in human beings. This industry sector can spare itself a big army of lobbyists because their collaborators sit in school boards, in health agencies, and are present in municipal and town councils. In this context, I want to refer once again to the book The Bought State by Sascha Adamek and Kim Otto, published in 2008. And another book, which I really recommend you buy, published in 2003 by the journalists Grasberger and Kotteder, with the title Mobile Communications, a Field Experiment on Humans. Published 15 years ago, it shows particularly the networks of politics, media, and the mobile communications sector, and offers a truly all-encompassing view of this issue, even down to microwave weapons technology, which uses exactly those athermal effects, which officially don't exist.
Die es offiziell nicht gibt.
To understand the effects of electromagnetic pollution means to understand life itself. This is a quote from a well-known biologist, a friend of the former Siemens Corporation development engineer, Dr. Günther Volkroth. He had drawn the attention of his friend, this Siemens engineer, to the dying trees caused by radar stations in the 80s. This Siemens development engineer then proved to the Federal Office for Radiation Protection, already in the mid-80s, that tree death and forest decline was in direct connection with these radar stations. But no consequences were taken. What does it mean to understand life when one understands the effects of electromagnetic pollution? Maybe this. We humans are bioelectric beings. We create an energy field around us called an aura, an electromagnetic field which goes into resonance with other fields, also technically generated ones. And this is where the problem begins. Our natural fields are confronted with those technically generated, and our organism has to cope with that, with foreign information, with frequencies that don't exist in nature. There's a British documentary film from 2011, online in English, quite easy to understand, which reveals in its title what this is all about. The title is Resonance, Beings of Frequency. The title reflects that we humans are beings of frequency. You can find this film on Vimeo, and it shows the consequences which show up when we have to go into resonance with these unnatural electromagnetic fields. Not only us, but also the animals. Also, weather phenomena are electromagnetic phenomena. Some people have difficulties enough just with weather changes. For instance, people who have bone fractures or people with migraines or chronic diseases like rheumatism, they can feel a weather change quite intensely. And these are electromagnetic phenomena too, but of the natural kind, and already these can bother people really a lot. The bioelectricity in human bodies is measurable. It is used for EEGs, to record the brain waves, for an ECG, to register the heart's current flows. There's also the EMG for muscle currents and the EDA for the electric conduction of the skin. And the magnetic field of our brain or heart can be measured even meters away from us. So this shows that that all living beings are bioelectric, and therefore we are all electrosensitive, not just a few supersensitive souls. Life is vibrantly alive, erratic, and adaptable. If, for instance, in the course of an examination of the heart rate variability, a physician notices an unvarying, steady pulse rate of the heart, this means alarm level red, then it must be feared that this person's life is about to end. The whole of nature is analogous, not digital, not strongly pulsed. It's alive and flexible. In this way, all of life on this planet has adapted itself to the conditions of this wonderful planet Earth in order to provide the very best for their species. The rigid pulse rates of this microwave technology come with very strong power flux densities. This means that performance strength radiation intensities are surrounding the whole Earth now, because we already have thousands of satellites around the Earth. With 5G, several thousand more are supposed to be added. This is unimaginable. And then still all the mobile communications antennas. We have radiation strengths so strong that they impose a rigid pulse on all living organisms, billions of times higher than the natural radiation pulse of the Earth. I attended a radiation congress in 2014. One of the speakers was a former Secret Service agent, Barry Trower. Maybe you've heard of him. He presented a pretty good example exactly about this rigid pulse. He said, imagine you weigh 60 kilograms and you're jumping on a trampoline, one of these big ones where someone else can join in. And then a real heavyweight of 120 kilograms gets on and begins to swing in his own rhythm. Do you think you could still jump in your own rhythm, or would you have to adapt to the stronger one? This is what he said. We have no choice at all. The stronger momentum is stronger than we are, and it imposes its pulse on us. In the 90s, Dr. Leberecht von Klitzingen found in his studies at the University of Lübeck, Germany, incredibly strong EEG alterations caused by mobile phone radiation. In a recent study in the course of his investigations, he found something highly alarming. He irradiated his test subjects a whole day long with Wi-Fi, and the next day the muscle currents were measured. After this irradiation, for 30% of the test subjects, this measurement was superimposed with a 10 beat per second pulse. This means that on the skin of 30% of these persons, the Wi-Fi pulse was still measurable, and this even before the main muscle examination started, and although the Wi-Fi exposure was from the day before. That's this kind of memory effect. And still they're not able to determine what the actual consequences are, but I get a bit uneasy when I read this. You can read it in the latest brochure of the Initiative for the Protection of Man, Environment and Democracy, issue number 11, which is online. The title of the issue is Electro-Hypersensitivity, Risk for Individual and Society. As mentioned before, it can affect everybody. Over many millions of years, the Earth has developed in a natural electromagnetic field. As I said, all living beings are living with the biggest possible adaptation to the conditions here on Earth. My current view is, and many people think the way I do, that the human species is busy at the moment, particularly fast now, digging a big grave called Earth, unless the planet is destroyed beforehand, soon because of being misused as a weapon of war. The U.S. scientist Dr. Rosalie Bertel has shown in her book Earth, the Latest Weapon of War, that military experiments could really endanger even the whole planet itself, not only the life it's bearing. Maybe the Earth would be glad if the human species as a parasite would finally be gone. Then nature could breathe again. But now, as a matter of fact, it's about the survival of this wonderful water planet. The physician and scientist, Dr. Karl Hecht, professor for experimental and clinical pathological physiology, quite a lot of titles. He's 94 years old now, and I know him personally and esteem him very much. In his article, The Electromagnetic Ocean, Essential Ecological Factor in Danger, this is exactly what he pointed out. His article was published in the journal Natural Medicine in the first issue from 2017. And in this article, he quotes from a study, which I'll read now. Namely, in 1968, the U.S. government had been asked by scientists and physicians to realize a study about the electromagnetic environmental contamination. In 1968, and the report came out in 1971. And I'll just quote this one sentence. If in near future appropriate precautions and controls are not introduced, based on a fundamental understanding of the biological effects of electromagnetic radiation, in the coming decades, the human world will enter an era of ecological contamination by energy, which can be compared to the chemical contamination of the environment today. End of quote. So this was already known in 1971, and now we're right in the middle of it, and 5G is still going to be added on top of this. So far, there are no controls, no precautions or accurate information for the population, nor has a sustainable policy, as claimed in numerous appeals, been put into place up until today. The impacts on health. Now I could, as I said before, there are mountains of specialist literature on this subject, a vast wealth. I will show you just a few particularly explosive points of relevance for our society. I have also considered the question of what it is that makes us ill. Among the people with whom we work together, there are also several environmental medical experts. In a conversation I had with one of them, he told me from his perspective that 80% of people who are ill today are ill due to the contaminated environment, including unhealthy nutrition. Of course, we also ingest certain substances with our food. A certain Christian politician bestowed this upon us so that we may consume glyphosate a few years longer due to legislation legalizing its use on fields and meadows. And let me bring up a few of the numerous non-thermal effects which officially do not exist. For we should know this so we can even understand at all what it means when 5G and then later 6G, which is already in the planning, are imposed. The massive increase of psychological disorders, including depression, is generally known. One factor which concerns all of us is consistently left out of the whole public debate. While for people like us who have been addressing this subject for a long time, it is totally clear that it's going in this direction. Namely, through the technically generated electromagnetic radiation, our hormone responsible for joy of life, feelings of happiness, driving force, the serotonin, is reduced dramatically. And this has been proven by several studies. It's not surprising. For instance, when we have a reduced melatonin production, out of melatonin, serotonin is produced. When there's only a little melatonin, there will also be equally little serotonin. In Allgäu, Germany, where I live, in the years 2006 and 2007, a team made a proper investigation and published it in three specialist journals. Blood analysis were made and hormone values were taken before a mobile radio transmitter was put into operation. Then several times after the transmitter was put into operation, new blood values were determined. There were significant alterations in the amounts of both serotonin and melatonin. For a 12-year-old girl, it went even so low that she was at risk of committing suicide. The serotonin level sank that low. A well-known physician from the USA, maybe you've heard of Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, he said the following at a congress in 2006 about this issue. I quote, "The main effect of exposure to radiation in this range is not cancer or leukemia or other things we are going to present here, but the decrease of the feeling of being alive, joy of life, zest for living, courage, creativity, the more subtle things." End of quote. And what he presented as the other things, they were really shocking enough. The issues of stress and burnout have become quite normal. They're on everybody's lips today. Almost everybody who deals with this subject is not at all surprised that it's raging like an epidemic. And I would claim that everyone who is exposed to this radiation, sooner or later, depending on constitution and medical history, comes into a pathological energy deficit, a so-called burnout. It's only a question of time. And of course, in society's whole discussion about this subject, the issue of mobile communication simply does not exist. It's consequently covered up. Some of the sources for the subject stress and burnout through EMF, this is the abbreviation for electromagnetic fields, are the following. The title of a very comprehensive book we have here in Germany is Stress Through Electricity and Radiation, written by Wolfgang Mees, an expert in metrology and the field of building biology, and at the same time a journalist. And on his website, there are many updates, also from this fall, 2018. There, he also provides information about the subject of antibiotic resistance, as well as the propagation of bacteria by technically produced EMF. You should know this. It's pretty scary. The brochure Cells in Radiation Stress by a Stuttgart association from May 2009 can be acquired over Diagnosefunk. This, too, I think, is a very valuable brochure. The research report Increasing Burnout Incidents Through Technically Created Magnetic and Electromagnetic Fields of Mobile Communication is available online from the Competence Initiative. An important study I want to present here, conducted voluntarily by two physicians, is the so-called Rimbach study. This study was performed privately, without third-party funding, in 2004 and 2005 on a relatively big group of 60 test persons, aged from small children to pensioners. This study has been published in the scientific journal Umweltmedizingesellschaft, Environment Medicine Society, from 2011. The result of the study was this: significant increase in the release of all stress hormones and significant reduction of PEA, phenethylamine, which is important for a positive state of mind. It's a kind of early stage happiness hormone. Let me point this out. A burnout, a pathological energy deficit, which can be proved medically down to the cell level, can be fatal, can lead to organ failure, to kidney failure, to heart failure. This is nothing to joke about. This is not just some kind of state of exhaustion, but such an intense pathological energy deficit can in fact be fatal. Just during the boom of mobile communication between 1990 and 2004, the prescriptions for children who suffered from low PEA level, so hyperkinetic children, increased almost 100-fold. A great business for the pharmaceutical corporations, don't you agree? At the Congress on Radiation in 2014, not only did I hear Barry Trower, but also a Canadian university professor, Magda Hivers. And she said that in Canadian schools several times already, actually she spoke about four cases, there was sudden cardiac arrest in teens. Two of them could be resuscitated, the other two not. And this is supposed to be normal in schools today, exactly like fainting spells, dizziness, nosebleed, all normal. Now to the subject of dementia. This will become a very big problem in our society. In 20 years, we'll be a nation of dementia patients, according to physicist and scientist Dr. Brigitte Lange. She said this in January 2001 when she spoke at the Monday Forum in Erlenbach about the opening of the blood-brain barrier by means of technically generated pulsed EMF. So in 2021, we've reached that point. For by opening the blood-brain barrier by this pulsed microwave radiation, all environmental toxins can enter the brain and result in neurological disorders, Alzheimer, and dementia. As I said before, physicians dealing with this subject for some time are not surprised by this development, and I fear that numerous family dramas have to be expected when parents don't recognize their children anymore, and eventually in the long run children won't recognize their parents. Right now I'm witnessing such a drama myself in my own circle of friends. A few years ago, well, quite some time ago, maybe 6 or 8 years at least, I watched an early morning program. It must have been around 7 a.m, and somebody was being interviewed. The subject was the increasing dementia of people in large cities in their early 50s, who are often singles, have no family to look after them, and whose care would begin to present a really big problem for society. The problem is really going to become much worse. And of course, in the society-wide discussion about this subject, nothing of what I'm telling you here will be mentioned. Rudolf Steiner already addressed this issue of electromagnetic pollution. At the time, this term did not yet exist. In our circle, there are several who have an anthroposophic orientation. I have a brochure from a publication series called Mobile Phone, The Risky Communication, by somebody with this background. Rudolf Steiner said the following about electric currents. It eliminates understanding also. At that time, the term electromagnetic pollution, short electric smog, did not exist. This term was created only in the 70s when the biologist Dr. Ulrich Warnke was doing research on bees at the University of Saarland. And the bees really are disappearing, right? Is there anywhere in the discussions about the bees disappearing a single remark in public that there could possibly be a connection to this and that there are even clear studies about it? No, it's never mentioned. What would Rudolf Steiner say to the current situation? I would love to interview him. Now about cancer. The cancer risk through this kind of technically generated radiation has been proven. I would like to point out my article for the OHA, Radiation from Mobile Communication and the Repressed Cancer Risk, which is online. Did you know that in 2011, the World Health Organization classified mobile phone radiation in the category 2B? That important study, such as the Europe-wide reflex study, carried out at 12 research facilities in 7 European countries, have proved it causes double-strand breaks in human DNA, as was only proven before to be caused by X-ray radiation and technically generated radioactive radiation. Further study results have confirmed this. These study results of numerous studies have not been taken into account at all for the valuation. This rating should have been applied much earlier. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this later on. The role of the media is also very important. This is how it was ridiculed back then. Oh, mobile phone radiation is just as dangerous as coffee. But unfortunately, the omission press, that's what we call it because it works this way, has failed pointing out what else is classified in category 2B. For instance, benzenes and DDT. So coffee should be just as digestible as DDT? No, the studies were done with caffeic acid, and I would like to see how long you or I could remain healthy if we would eat exclusively caffeic acid. This is exactly what they have demonstrated, distorting facts, taking them out of context, failing to represent everything, showing only just the part that helps them to represent whatever they want to represent. And now I want to speak with you about one of my favorite topics, the element water, a very wonderful element. We are living on this water planet, and we humans are water beings. Did you know that Dr. Masaru Emoto initiated the studies about the effects of microwave radiation, and that he was really horrified about the results? Water attracts technically generated radiation. Wherever we have the highest amount of water in our body, which is the brain, the blood, the glands, that's why, for instance, in Fukushima or wherever else these nuclear catastrophes occurred, glandular cancer, leukemia, brain tumors are big issues. Microwave radiation, and this can be proven, if I had the measuring equipment here, I would measure the air and then hold the probe into water and you would notice how loud it becomes. So water attracts this radiation. This can be proven. And what is particularly terrible about this subject is that fetuses in the womb, growing babies, are surrounded by water. So you can imagine for yourself what this means. I know from people working in this sector, also from Barry Trower at the Congress, that there are very, very many premature births caused by this. And I can only say these unborn souls, they are fleeing, literally fleeing from the body. This is how I see it. They cannot bear this radiation anymore. The souls prefer to go away again. And in my circle of friends, I've just seen this happen, that a woman 7 months pregnant with twins, a friend told me about this, she had to be taken to the hospital, an emergency by helicopter, and on the way to the hospital, both her 7-month-old babies died in the womb. And this is not a rare case these days. Years ago, a team from the University of Tel Aviv looked into the question of whether water has a memory. They irradiated water for 2 hours with conventional mobile communications radiation, this means with a weak EMF, and discovered that the bacteria in the water multiplied twice or three times faster and lived longer. This documentary was shown on Phoenix, a German TV channel, and can still be looked up. It's still online. So this means our knowledge is just a little drop, water, the unknown entity. When one sees this, knowing how glyphosate acts in the body, it can really give us the creeps. The team around Professor Dr. Monika Krüger at the University of Leipzig appeared on TV years ago and demonstrated how glyphosate acts in the human body relating to bacteria. It kills the good bacteria in the body, and those not so good remain and are then multiplied by technically generated EMF, and moreover, they live longer inside the body. So if one wanted to harm humans and animals, wouldn't this be a good combination?
Zum Thema Wissenschaft. Ist nicht alles, was Wissenschaft?
Now about science. Not everything that produces knowledge is science. From more than 70 years of research about high-frequency radiation, there is such a wealth of literature which proves effects already far below the threshold values. There's no need for any further research, as always requested by politicians. What is necessary is that all the previous research results are at last taken seriously. The population should be informed and protected. All I can say is that with the level of science existing at the time in 1992, when the first mobile phone transmission mast was built in Germany, this kind of technology simply should never have been developed any further. Actually, the scientific state of knowledge was already that clear. And why would I need a final scientific proof to know that I'm burning my fingers when I touch a hot plate? Do I have to wait until somebody finances such a study to know this? So much can be simply experienced. And every serious scientist knows that a scientific proof can never be achieved on humans. That's a fact. I pointed this out in my article, Unknown Warnings About a Risky Technology, which is online at Free 21. Actually, I listed there all the appeals which have been made so far, since 1999 approximately. By the way, according to officially recognized science, all of you here in front of me are corpses or plastic dolls filled with gel. For this is what the threshold values were tested on. This is today's approved science. Quite macabre. One could say, welcome back to the Middle Ages. The journalists Kotteder and Grasberger also illustrated in their book, Mobile Communications, a Field Experiment on Humans, how scientists are treated and how they're discredited and denounced as unreliable. The filmmaker Klaus Scheidsteiger has shown this also in his fascinating documentary, Thank You for Calling, which reminded me very much of that description. They try to hit people below the belt, make them appear dishonorable, as if someone who shouldn't be listened to anymore. This is exactly how it's done. So people who just do not see through these defamation tactics have simply not yet awakened out of the matrix. What do authorities in public offices and political offices know? This is a very important point for me, which results from this joint engagement of physicians and scientists. And I can say that in decisive positions, they are all informed by committed people. Already back in 1984, someone I know personally wrote a letter to the federal chancellor at the time, Helmut Kohl, and told him that he can prove by technical measurements that the forest decline is directly related to the electromagnetic pollution. No response came. In 1998, the Environment Minister Trittin likewise received a letter from the same man, actually from an electronics company in Allgäu, Germany, in which he was told that they could show him a few things and provide measuring tools free of charge. They got no response from Trittin, just as I didn't. On October 19th, 1999, so 19 years ago, a resolution was submitted to the environmental minister at the time, Tautin, during a citizens' forum on mobile communications in which it had been demanded that this telephone standard, the DECT phone standard, be prohibited, meaning all cordless phones. That was 18 to 19 years ago. This resolution was supported by physicians of various organizations, such as the Society for Environmental Medicine, the Institute for Environmental Diseases, and the Ecological Physician Society. It can be found also at the website of maize.de under the title Prohibition for Cordless DECT Telephones Requested. Today, these DECT phones are present in nearly every home. In 2001, a Munich physician wrote an open letter to Jürgen Trittin. I want to quote here just one sentence. With the actual political course regarding mobile communications, first of all, criminal greed for profit at a very large scale is legalized at the cost of the general well-being of millions of people while giving up all rule of law. With this, she absolutely brought it to the point, already in 2001. Her open letter was published in the building biology journal Living and Health, Wohnung und Gesundheit, issue 103. Now let's come back to the book Mobile Communications, a Field Experiment on Humans. Here it is very well worded what this is really about. Mr. Trittin was quoted saying, when you're driving by means of public transport and only three have a mobile phone, and this in an enclosed space, I don't need to tell you what's going on there. So he knew what was going on, but he has not told anyone, and he did not advocate for a ban on mobile phones in the public transport system. Why not? Then, something else very important, on July 2, 2006, a group of physicians was invited to the Federal Office for Radiation Protection. I have the file at home myself and had it by chance in my hands again. A whole group was invited to an expert panel discussion there. And they had prepared about 250 case histories of people who had fallen ill due to mobile communications and gave short presentations about these. This protocol is online too. You can really see who was there. These independent physicians are always faced with a certain so-called experts panel, appointed for the public by the public authorities above them. And these experts defamed and rejected everything. Nothing was good enough. Everything was viewed as insignificant, and all kinds of excuses were made. And there was even someone there who was practically smuggled in order to confront that panel. He gave a lecture about damage to trees. The engineer, Dr. Volker Schorp, made this lecture available on his website, puls-schlag.org. He had documented it and produced quite clear scientific evidence about trees for the Federal Office for Radiation Protection. But they did not follow up on this. There were no consequences. Now, I started an initiative, and by coincidence, in spring 2007, I saw a television program. At the time, I was developing school curriculum together with a colleague, and the goal was considering with children and young people how we can bring children to understand that something can have an effect which we humans cannot perceive with our sensory organs. And by chance, on this program, I saw how a Bavarian State Environmental Agency official held a mobile phone class at an Augsburg high school and demonstrated his lack of knowledge. It's incredible that an official of a public authority was underway in schools who apparently was not on the international level of knowledge, yet was allowed to communicate it that way. Several initiatives united then, and we informed this man. Obviously, he was not at all informed about this. We showed him numerous scientific studies. We exchanged letters back and forth. And the interesting thing that came out of it was that it was always someone different who answered our little doctoral theses. They did not respond with a single word to any of the content of our letters. It was always obvious that they had not at all read what we'd written. There were always these nice little text modules in their letters. Oh, we take the concerns and fears of the citizens seriously. I read that so many times in their letters. Someone must have pre-formulated that for them. Of course, on the building of this public service authority, there's a mobile transmission antenna, the Bavarian State Environmental Agency. Environmental. And after the umpteenth letter, we stopped responding, but our activities led to an article in Raum und Zeit, Space and Time, Scientific Journal. And there's more. On January 27, 2008, two high Bavarian medical circles, in cooperation with a scientist's initiative, wrote to the Bavarian Prime Minister, Beckstein, and drew his attention to the legalized damaging of children by mobile communications transmission. And then, because there was no answer, they repeated it again in April 2009, directed then to the new Prime Minister Seehofer, from whom we heard and know that those who are elected have nothing to say. My husband still tried to get through several times, for this initiative was based with us. And shortly before the summer holidays, in July 2009, the answer arrived from the Bavarian state capital. They could not recognize any need for taking action, and besides, there were results of the German mobile phone research program. Oddly enough, the long-term damages on children and youth were not even addressed at all. This means they referred to that program, which had nothing to do with the issue the scientists and doctors wanted to present, and it was not at the level of the current research at all. But this is how they're treating us. Bottom line, those politically responsible had all been informed, also by my letter. The action I had initiated went to numerous federal ministry offices, state ministry offices, to the Bavarian Public Radio. In addition, it went to district administrations, to health authorities. So we can say that all authorities, all government offices have been informed. It was very important to me that you hear about this because you won't learn about it anywhere else. These are just a few examples. There are many, many more. There are numerous files about how all these dedicated physicians, how we've tried to alert the public authorities concerning the suffering of people affected. And to be honest, the fact that the child protection organizations limit themselves to offering media competence courses sponsored by mobile phone providers reveals the whole perversity of this in our society. And whoever hears anything about the sufferings of those people who are sick due to technically generated EMF waves, well, the most well-known the most well-known electrohypersensitive person is Ulrich Weiner, who got in touch with me in 2005 through one of my open letters. But officially, this cannot exist, because officially, radiation does not make you sick. So he probably lives in the forest for some other reason. A woman with a strong public presence, a well-known person, the most prominent of EHS, electrohypersensitivity patients. EHS means when the last drop has caused the barrel to overflow, so to speak, an electrosensible being has developed a hypersensitivity. So these are people who suddenly develop problems finding it difficult to move around normally in our society. There's also a highly prominent person, namely the former World Health Organization director, Gro Harlem Brundtland. She became well known in 2002 when she declared in an interview, I believe with the Danish Dagblad, that each time she used a mobile phone, she got a very strong headache. This even went so far that all colleagues around her had to deactivate their mobile phones, and they even tested it. Every time someone with an active mobile phone came into the room, she immediately sensed it. And this was true, and she is the best known person concerned with what officially doesn't exist. And then in a documentary, a WDR documentary about Ulrich Weiner, the man who lives in the forest, a physician demonstrated that also animals are affected. Ulrich and a llama were equipped with a portable ECG strapped to their bodies, and they walked uphill on a forest path unknown to Ulrich, where a transmission mast threw a side beam on the forest path. This was monitored by technical measurement, and she pointed out in this film for everyone to see, it's online, that at the same point in time when Ulrich's heart rate went up, also the llama's heart rate increased. In fact, it was exactly where the radiation of the transmitter came in strongest. Now, does this mean that the llama would urgently need a psychotherapist, like the cattle of the Swiss farmer Stürzenegger, and the cattle and calves of all the other farmers too? Two highly committed doctors, Christine Aschermann and Cornelia Waldmann-Selsam, published a book last year which gives a lot of specialized information, including about people's sufferings. Its title is Electrosensitive Radiation Refugees in a Radio Networked Society. I myself know some young people who cannot continue with their university degree because they're so strongly affected and there's nowhere where they can work at the moment. The ZDF TV program Planet E, Pathogenic Mobile Phone, reported about a 15-year-old student who suffered under Wi-Fi sensitivity. And this student, she did not want to be recognized in the film for fear of defamation. And now where have we ended up in this society when people who suffer have to hide for fear of being ridiculed? This is something that unfortunately can be seen very often in this smartphone world. And I know this from doctors as well, that there is a loss of empathy and that the ability to resonate has gone down somehow. This may be connected with the oscillations, the rigid pulsations which are being imposed on our lives. Empathy means being able to resonate with somebody. It's all about vibration, right? Now, this is the really sad part of my speech, but I don't want to withhold it from you. Sometimes people are so desperate that they even commit suicide. The most notorious case was the former Lutheran pastor from Oberammergau who fled from the radiation in that place years ago to the Baltic Sea area. He recovered there until several fourth-generation LTE transmission masts were set up around his house. I know about this case because he was in contact with me. He told me on the phone and in emails about the enormous heart pain he suffered from. Others have confirmed this as well. Persons affected who suddenly had LTE transmission masts set up, they all had severe heart rhythm disturbances and heart pain. Already with the fourth generation of mobile communications. Of course, this made all of us very sad. We had offered him an asylum at our place, but he took his own life in February 2013. There was a very big notification in the Süddeutsche Zeitung, which all of us activists, or at least many of those jointly committed, have supported. And this year, a woman in her early 40s committed suicide. She was one of my husband's patients. Maybe you can sense a bit the drama we see behind the scenes. By the way, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel said in her speech, the annual summer interview, that democracy also means protection of minorities. For many years now, so-called white areas are being demanded for people who want to live free of mobile communication radiation. No one is interested. Concerning trees, Ulrich Weiner was one of the first to show me that trees can serve as antennas. In a no-radiation zone in Allgäu, where we met at times, he placed an antenna on a tree and we listened to Russian radio. I also wonder why there is no discussion with regard to the subject of weather. This technology consumes vast amounts of electricity. Of course, this plays no role in the energy policy changes. And technically generated electromagnetic fields are continuously sent into the air where they encounter natural electromagnetic fields. And again, as a reminder, electromagnetic fields go in resonance with each other. And it is possible that this has something to do with our chaotic weather, with all we've been experiencing lately. I want to draw your attention now to an article, Microwaves Make Water Evaporate. Isn't it so that we have a lack of water at the moment? Could this be a coincidence? Well then, what are their plans for the 5G mobile communications? Connecting virtually everything with the network through the Internet of Things. Then we will not be allowed to own a car anymore. Instead, we'll be obliged to sit in remote-controlled computers. This could also be pretty dangerous for people who give such lectures like I do, right? Or for others, too. This is very dangerous. So I personally have decided to only ride my bike when all of this is implemented. I'm not getting into any of those things. Sorry. That's it. Period. Is it possible that the goal of all this is surveillance? To store all the data around us, to know everything about us? The U.S. government advisor Brzezinski, a well-known man, is quoted as follows in the book The Think Tanks by U.S. journalist William Engdahl. I quote, "The technotronic era is marked by the gradual appearance of a more controlled and directed society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite, unhindered by the restraints of traditional liberal values. Soon it will be possible to guarantee an almost uninterrupted surveillance of every single citizen and to keep up-to-date records where even the most private information about citizens is stored. The authorities could have direct access at any time." End of quote. This is what Mr. Brzezinski wrote in the 70s in his book Between Two Ages. So it was planned long, long ago. The technical director of the NSA, William Binney, was interviewed in the context of the NSA Inquiry Board, not here in Switzerland, but in Germany, and he admitted that indeed every electronic trace of every single person is saved and archived by the NSA. For this purpose, the NSA built a complex in the U.S. state of Utah, which cost $1.7 billion, and it's as big as 17 football fields. Everything is stored there. You can find this in the book Fassadendemokratie, tiefer Staat, Fake Democracy and the Deep State. There were actually some highly explosive documentaries on TV, too, which are still online now, about what must be expected from the internet or when the net is turned into a weapon. There are several. But I want to address one in particular, which has to do with our subject, because the installation of radio transmitter-based smart meters into our houses is imminent. The film Battlefield Internet, When the Net Becomes a Weapon, reports that Edward Snowden had contacted the film team that produced the film. He provided documents which proved that the NSA intended to bring the internet fully under their control. They wanted to organize everything in a way that would allow them to interfere with the infrastructure of other countries at any time. They wanted to be able to shut down nuclear power plants, to spy on economic enterprises, to shut down the power supply, and to paralyze hospitals. Well, that's what good friends are for, right? Oh yes, and I want to remind you of the book Blackout by Mark Ellsberg, which describes a real danger. One might think politicians who get something like that underway cannot be quite right in the head. But there are also truly honorable Secret Service agents, like Kevin Shipp, already presented in KLAR-TV, who reported about the criminal schemes of the U.S. Secret Services. Also the former British Secret Service agent, Dr. Barry Trower, who reported about the use of microwave technology and declared how dangerous these pulsed frequencies really are. By the way, the film App states, "He who owns all the data can manipulate everything." Even more threatening is the possibility to erase all of the traces in the net. So in the case of a cyber attack, when one country shuts down the power grid, say, of another, someone else can be declared guilty and blamed. And this is very dangerous because NATO has taken the liberty to invoke the mutual defense clause, which is then valid when they find someone who performed a cyber attack on one of their countries. And when they arrange it in a way that the Russians can be blamed, then at last they have their reason for attack, to destroy Europe, to paralyze everything. This is the really dangerous part of the battlefield internet. Concerning this impending development, what are they aiming at? Also with artificial intelligence, by the way, repeatedly several American movies come to my mind. One of them which keeps buzzing around in my mind lately is the movie In Time. This movie shows a sequence where a mother dies in the arms of her son because he did not succeed in time to transfer lifetime onto this crazy digital display on her wrist that indicates her lifetime. So lifetime, which is acquired by merit, but defined by someone else. This seems to me so much to the point that it made me think, are they already giving us a hint via these Hollywood movies about what they're planning for us? Yes, I believe they are. Another question is if eventually the goal is depopulation, a purposeful reduction of the population. Now, I want to quote another thought from William Engdahl's book, The Think Tanks. In the introduction, he wrote, "The Anglo-American think tanks presented here are the front line of a pretty facade of a group of stinking rich, cold-blooded people of a truly racist death cult. Their motive is the drastic reduction of the world's population." I heard Mr. Engdahl lecture when he presented his book at the COP Publishing Congress. He said that 30 years of investigation are included in this book, so I believe he is not just telling some nonsense. It is a fact that also with regards to the depleted uranium bombs, which NATO always likes to use in their illegal wars of aggression, contrary to international law, by the way, that a U.S. scientist came right out and said that clearly, right from the beginning, the plan was depopulation. It is the French-German-U.S. scientist Lauren Moore who has also pointed out strange parallels to these wars of aggression. Actually, in Serbia, many young people have already died of cancer, and the current new cases of cancer have dramatically increased. What's more, also the feigned reason for the attack against Serbia was nothing but a lie, just as the pretty little test tube in Colin Powell's hand. I think the truth must be brought to the light, because a good future cannot be established on lies. In an open letter, translated into several languages, dated October 10, 2018, and addressed to Mr. Jens Stoltenberg, the scientist and author Dr. Hensel has drawn Mr. Stoltenberg's attention once again to the hazard wreaked in Serbia at the time by the NATO. Then I want to point out a combination which one finds with these wars of aggression. The NATO uses bombs enriched with depleted uranium. The people there can have serious damage through technically generated radioactive radiation. When cancer begins to grow, the production of melatonin is very important. And as people in the attacked countries are also increasingly contaminated by technical electromagnetic radiation, the production of melatonin is low, and therefore the cancer police in the body is reduced. This means that the cancer rates in these countries will rise even more rapidly through this combination. We simply need to keep this in mind. Melatonin is, so to speak, the cancer police in our body. Also, Professor Sam, who already performed research for the German telecom at a very, very early stage, said that melatonin studies should be given priority. Indeed, at a very early stage, also the German telecom was aware of this, informed by a study done by Ecologs Institute, which is online too. Back in the year 2000, they already knew, as a result of that study, that under mobile communications radiation, the development of cancer can be faster and more fatal. So yes, also inside telecom, someone knows. Environmental doctors or people busy in the environmental medical sector know that no more new technology in this branch should still be added. The daily routine in hospitals is already now so serious, so dramatic, that they cannot even imagine it could get even worse with 5G mobile communications. It's so dramatic already today. Professor Dr. Karl Hecht researched in the mid-90s about the telecommunication for the German government, for the Federal Institute. In the meantime, I have a nasty suspicion he was chosen because he had a very good contact with Russia. He was appointed to find out by means of long-term studies or Russian specialist literature how big the risk would be from technically generated electromagnetic fields on humans. He had 1,500 studies at hand, selected 878 of them, of which 60 were long-term studies with a big number of test persons, so really significant. And he found out that in the first 3 years, through field exposure, an increased stimulus was recorded. So hyperactivity, increased secretion of stress hormones, we know that. And between the third and fifth year, a kind of a quiet period followed, where nothing developed significantly. But then, it headed strongly towards burnout, extreme exhaustion, fatigue. Remember, we're in the middle of the chapter titled Possible Planned Population Reduction. And in his study, he found out that 20% of people are resistant. I wonder if he was appointed to find out how many people could be wiped out in the long run if we are all irradiated. For me, this question is more than justified considering the actions of our political responsibles in the past decades. Can I ask you this question now? Does everything happen as intended? I would say yes. And the thing is, I'm almost finished. I'm coming to the end here. When watching the developments towards artificial intelligence, the idea might come up that 80% of us useless eaters may disappear. We would simply be replaced by artificial intelligence. And the 20% that are the strongest physically, they would simply exist as useful slaves. This is how I see it. I cannot find any other explanation. He was supposed to present the results of his study before the Federal Environment Ministry, and until today this lecture has not arrived there. Instead, his study was published in issue number 6 of the Competence Initiative, which is online as well, with the title About Consequences of Long-Term Exposure to Electromagnetic Pollution. This study was published privately. Besides, about these studies, if one wants to avoid having something found within a study, the design of the study can be manipulated in such a way that avoids disclosing what should not be found. Or studies can be blocked that would clearly show something, for instance, about animals or trees. This happens consistently. Then still, a well-known environmental physician from southern Germany, who had already reached retirement age but wanted to go on working, has thrown in the towel this year. He left a goodbye letter to his patients, and I have this letter, and I'd like to quote part of it. As a matter of fact, during the time in which I have been practicing as a doctor, the chances of falling chronically ill have massively increased. The higher life expectancy must not deceive us about this. The financial cost for healthcare sector is now at 1 billion euros per day. The numbers of dementia patients is growing, and the amount of people suffering from allergies is 4 times higher. Most forms of cancer are increasing rapidly. The number of people falling ill from chronic exhaustion rises rapidly. The patients falling ill are younger and younger. End of quote. And now 5G mobile communications should be introduced into this situation? It is not at all reassuring when it's said that the radiation will be absorbed by the skin, because I know that the same study was already published in 2010. Many, many people around mobile phones communications transmitters have been examined, and one of the main symptoms were skin alterations. I don't believe that this does anything good for our skin. But back to our subject. Everything I've shown now, every device into the net, schools contaminated by radiation, everything nicely irradiated and connected. As said before, these are dangerous times for people who shed light on hot subjects. A radiant future awaits us. Or maybe not. Maybe it's rather by means of a blackout that the big crisis should be brought about, in which people would consent to the New World Order. I think this madness must be stopped, and I want to show you what people are already doing against it, trying to stop it. I want you to know what you have at hand in case someone wants to become active. For of course, here in Germany, this is not shown in the mainstream news.
Ich denke, wir müssen ans Licht holen, wer es ist in der Politik, der diese Digitalisierung.
I think we must bring to light who it is among the politicians who is a driving force pushing digitalization forward. We should take a good look at these people. We should bring them to light with their name and face. We should take a look at the transatlantic pacts and the think tanks in which they are involved. Even now, in Wikipedia, a few things can still be looked up. One thing becomes clear. The problem is that people have looked away for far too long, and this threat could easily take root in the dark. Also, as far as financial data is concerned, they want us all to gladly send them our data via the tax office program called Elster. It's not a strange coincidence that in German, the name of this program is the same as the name of a thieving bird as well, a magpie in English. It's meaningful, isn't it?
So.
Economic spying made easy thanks to our financial authorities and the politicians responsible, so that also the NSA can collect the most intimate data about us. Just consider all the data you hand over with a tax declaration, and it's mandatory. And then, above all, also in the health sector and so on. In the future, the doctors also have to cooperate. If they don't, they will be punished. And we should ask ourselves, who are these ladies and gentlemen in politics? Are they all rather vicarious agents of the U.S. Secret Services? I recommend strongly that you read the book Facade, Democracy and Deep State, On the Way to an Authoritarian Era. There it's outlined what the neoliberal agenda means, namely that humans and nature are supposed to serve for the profit of a few. And then knowing this, we understand what kind of agenda is brought forward here, also with reference to the subject of mobile communications. So what can we do if we want to do something about this? Don't participate if possible. Where you can, just don't participate. My husband and I canceled our mobile phone contracts at a certain point of our growing state of knowledge. We are online, but fully cabled, right? There's also the question, why doesn't the state offer fiber optics connections to all of us, even in the most remote corners? Because there's a lot of money available, right, to save banks and for unlimited migration? It's just that those who believe to be able to raise their vibration so high that this won't concern them, because after all, they go regularly to yoga, In the future, they will be very busy because the frequencies will be raised up to 100 gigahertz. And then they'll have to vibrate pretty high. And it would be awesome if they could start teaching this to the trees and the animals too. Also, those who believe that their neat little chip makes their device a healing device should really consider who they are serving with this reality. Unfortunately, the tipping method does not let one tip away from the subject. And people who believe that they are able to protect themselves mentally will have to consider that not all humans are yet as enlightened as they are, and that we others who are not yet as enlightened so far will need a little more time. So what can we do if we want to do something? There are several things going on at the moment. Namely, last fall, there was a worldwide appeal of more than 128 scientists and physicians directed to the EU with the demand for a moratorium and that everything must be tested before it is developed further. Then, on August 28, 2018, there was another open letter from a physician circle in Stuttgart sent to our federal minister, Andreas Scheuer. And this should be known because there are enclosures that can be used by all who want to become active. This letter is published online. They wrote it in plain text that this has to be stopped. 5G mobile communications must not be developed further. And therefore, I think it's important to address politicians like him, namely those who are responsible, who have paved the way and decreed the laws. And currently, there's another international appeal in preparation, which will be presented at the World Health Organization, the UN, and the European Union, which will also be available online. The Work Group for Electrobiology in Munich sent an open letter to Elon Musk, who wants to send thousands of satellites into space. And this letter is also online on their website. These are all documents that can be really used by everyone. And there's yet another one, which I believe this month, or still in November anyway, is going to the World Health Organization, the UN, and the European Union. It's the so-called 5G space appeal. It's online and can be looked up. And what's more, in the context of 5G, even the threshold values are supposed to be raised. 4 weeks ago, in Brussels, there was a conference of the mobile communications companies, the ICNIRP. The private association, which specifies the limit values, was present with a chairman who claimed that there is still no proof of any athermal effect, that the only relevant damage by this radiation would be caused by the thermal radiation. Consequently, this means every hot water bottle is more dangerous than mobile phone radiation. Yes, this is today's science. And Professor Dr. Klaus Büchner, who represents the ODP in the European Parliament, he was present at this meeting, and he was the only one to remind that chairman that there are new study results, including these from the US NTP study, where scientists in the USA even demanded the classification in the highest category. That means that if this were implemented, it would mean the immediate stop for this technology. And you can imagine that everything will be tried to prevent this, if there really is the other agenda behind it, right? That's what we should know. In Germany, the limit values are particularly high. The Alliance for Nature Protection once said, this is comparable to the speed of light being applied as a speed limit on the highways. Nice, right? Okay, one more thing still. What can we do beyond this? I'm convinced that every mayor is responsible for us in the community, in the town. What if every mayor received a nice letter with these documents? What if he or she were made aware of what he or she would be co-responsible for if this community or town would install 5G mobile phone transmitters? I have already begun. I made our head mayor happy with such a letter. In closing, I want to give you a quote and a picture. Last week, all of a sudden, a mobile communications antenna was erected close by our house. Within 2 days, there was that six-sector antenna, a six-sector antenna directed right on our house. A coincidence? And there's always that thought coming up. Where injustice is turned into justice, resistance becomes an obligation. This is one of my most important quotes at the moment. And now to the picture. This was the quote, and now comes the picture. In order to distract myself from time to time, I have to consciously look at something different. And I like to go out in nature or watch nature documentaries. And one picture that just incredibly fascinated me is from that documentary about migrant birds. It's also shown in the movie theaters. They showed a swarm of starlings above Rome. A huge swarm danced, a collective dance in the sky, and the birds closed in on a bird of prey so closely that he spiraled out of the swarm. This is the typical technique of starlings, where the whole swarm defends itself against a bird of prey. And this picture simply fascinated me. The great dance in the sky, the formations created by those starlings. And then I just wish that we humans would more and more learn to see how the animals are doing it. When we are many, united, the others don't stand a chance. Thank you.
I won't say now that you just charge through open doors here, but there's a determination to do something about it here. Many valuable impulses. I visualized the count we made about who already knows all this. Actually, everyone knows it. For me, what was still missing is the public prosecution. Once more, I want to point to them. If there are any lawyers present here, and I call you justice too, and if you are here and can join in, you are part of the remaining justice. Here, justice has the responsibility to interfere. Teach the people. Teach us so we can instruct the people by means of Klar TV, VNC, etc., about how to write a criminal charge without getting personally entangled and without expenses. There is this criminal cases where the public prosecution has a duty to interfere. Most of us don't really know how to do this. So if any lawyers are here, get in touch with us so we can establish a real committee to distribute the tasks in order to bring this knowledge to the right authorities. And I want to stress that this has to be entered into a Vetopedia afterwards. For instance, we have written to this lawyer. There are the counterstatements. On Vetopedia, everything can be found that has been said, where the guilty parties are listed. This is this mayor or this politicians. We have full knowledge. We have to tell them already now, the responsibility will come back on your head. The knowledge is here, but you don't act. We have to force them to act. But for this, we have to come together and do this very work and point out where the denials are. Maintain lists where these people are registered with their names. And we say, the time will come where we will get you by the collar and that's it. Shall we do this? Again, my heartfelt thanks. This was fantastic.